back there. Now, last Sunday night was business meeting, which I forgot, like I usually do. And so I had to come up with something at the last minute because what I had was just too long. So I just whipped this out, and I preached what I'll be going through in a few moments, and I'll skip over it when I get to it. But this is where we left off last Sunday morning. We left off in John chapter 5 and verse 41. Jesus said, I receive not honor from men. There's only one way to honor the Son, and that's to acknowledge the truth before Him and to admit to yourself and to God and to your fellow man that you are a very imperfect human being, inherited an Adamic nature, and you absolutely must have a Savior. And you honor Christ whenever you acknowledge that without Him, you would be eternally under the condemnation of God, but that with Him, you have eternal life forever. I don't think the reality of this is going to dawn on us until we actually receive our glorified bodies and are in heaven. And I think at that particular time, it will no longer be a question of belief by promise or by faith. For the first time, we'll realize the only reason I'm here, and the only reason I have this glorified body, and the only reason I'm going to live forever in a state of happiness and joy, is because of what Jesus did for me on the cross. Now, the night I was saved, I certainly didn't realize all that. But I'll tell you, it is possible as you go through life and you study more about Him and you get to know yourself a whole lot better and you really let His Word penetrate down to the depths of your soul and reveal to you why you do most of what you do and what your real motives are in what you say and think and do, and you begin to realize how self-centered you are, I think you begin to fall in love with Him. I think you begin to appreciate what you have, and you begin to praise His name, and you give Him honor, because He's all that stands between you and damnation and hell, and He saved you eternally, and given you eternal life. Now this next expression, just a little short sentence, but there's a whole lot that has to do with this. He's talking to a bunch of scribes and Pharisees. They've been trying to keep the law to go to heaven. They believe in God. And they believe that He would send a Messiah. But they weren't looking for a Messiah to deliver them from their sins. They were looking for a Messiah to give them victory over the Romans and to restore Israel to its prosperity that it enjoyed under King David, King Solomon. They were looking for a Messiah from God who would bless their physical life, make their labor easy, make their wages great, give them comfort, satisfaction, human pleasures, all the things that the flesh desires. That's what they were looking for in a Messiah. They tried to keep the law of Moses. They even watered it down so much that in their own minds they kept it. At least they thought they did. So in their minds and hearts, yes, they were looking for a Messiah. But they weren't looking for a Messiah to deliver them from their sins and to unite them with God and to restore them to fellowship with God. They thought they had already done that themselves. You'd be absolutely amazed how many people are meeting this morning across this country who are trying to reconcile themselves to God because they've come to church. And they'll drop a large offering in the plate. They may come on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. They may be faithful in their attendance. They may give to charities. They may not cuss. They may not drink strong drink. They may give it all they've got to please God by keeping His commandments. But they don't love the Lord. Why don't they love the Lord? Well, the Pharisees had families. And I'm sure these families loved them. I'm sure they loved their families. And they believed in God. They tried to raise their children according to the law. So why didn't they love God? He said, but I know you, that you have not the love of God in you. Love is to a large extent based on need. To a large extent, it's based on a relationship. It's based on gratitude, thanksgiving. That's what true love is based on. They didn't really need God because they were keeping a standard of righteousness that they thought made them righteous. It doesn't work that way with God. Why didn't they love God? They went to synagogue regularly. They gave regularly. They loved their children. They loved their families. They tried to keep the commandments of Moses. So why didn't they love God? Well, why do you love God? Why do I love God? Because God, if I had lived back in that day and time, let's put ourselves back in that day and time. Here we are. What are we looking for? Are we looking for someone to save us from our sins? Have we come to the realization that we can't keep the law? Has the law taught us anything? For the law was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. So here we are, back in that day and time. Now we're scribes and Pharisees, and we have the law. Have we been honest with ourselves? Have we acknowledged to ourselves, has the law taught us to be aware of what we are? Have we learned that you cannot love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and all your might and all your soul? Have they learned that? Have you learned it? You're back in that time now. Have you learned that you cannot love your neighbor as yourself? Have you seen yourself as self-centered? Have you, like the publican, thrown up and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I can't keep this law. You fall in love with God when you taste of His mercy. Desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. They didn't love God. The reason they didn't love God is because their salvation was not in God's promise. If your salvation is in God's promise, you love God. If your salvation is not in God's promise, you don't love God. That's as simple a definition as you can find. How do I know I love God? Because all my hope and faith, my dreams of the future, reality, is in the fact that I believe the promise of God in Jesus Christ, and that He loved me and gave Himself for me. That's the promise of God. These scribes and Pharisees were very religious, but their faith was not in the promise. You say, well, Brother Michael Murray, what about these people down here at this church that believe they can lose their salvation and believe they're going to hell and believe you have to do this, 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 and this in order to go to heaven? They don't love God. You say, well, how can you say that? They're not counting on God's promise. They're counting on their works. They're not counting on God. So those simple statements and are very important. Now notice, he goes on to say, I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. A lot of teachers say that's the Antichrist. I don't believe in Christ any more than Moody's goose. I think it's something that happened after Jesus was crucified. He was crucified in about 30 A.D. Some say 33 A.D. I think it was 30 A.D. And about after his crucifixion, in about 132 A.D. No, it was a little more than that. It was actually about, he was crucified in 30 A.D. It was about 2 A.D. So it would have been a little more than 100 years after he was crucified. Another man showed up, Bar Kokhba. And one of the rabbis, the Jewish Sanhedrin, declared him to be the Messiah. And Israel followed him. He said, if another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. Bar Kokhba came in his own name, claiming to be from God, and led a Jewish revolt. He was going to give them what they wanted. They wanted a Messiah to deliver them from the Romans. So Bar Kokhba, between 132 and 35 A.D., led a revolution as the Messiah, and was bitterly defeated. And what Titus hadn't destroyed in 70 A.D., Hadrian, the Roman emperor that put it down, destroyed in 135 A.D. Would they have received Jesus as the Messiah if after he performed all those miracles and went out and defeated the Romans and restored Israel to its borders of the days of Solomon? Absolutely. They would have proclaimed him king. That's why he kept running away from them and hiding every time they tried to make him a king. He was the promised seed to take away their sin. But they didn't think they had any sin. I'm sure it doesn't surprise you that I've been criticized because I always tend to put myself down and I'm always talking about how sinful we are. We've had people in this church that have been highly critical of me for that. They're not here anymore. And sometimes I suspect one of the reasons is they never have faced what they were. You can't love God if you don't see the depth of your sin, or at least perceive it, because it's the gratitude and thanksgiving to God for saving a miserable wretch like you and I. It causes us to literally praise and thank God from the depths of our soul. He said, how can ye believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? In the American Baptist Association, when it was first formed, like most associations in the initial formation, there was no hierarchy. But everybody pretty well stood on equal ground. But any organization, whether you call it an association, a convention, or a fellowship, over a period of time, it develops a hierarchy in it. And then they spend time honoring one another rather than honoring God. Am I bad-mouthing the American Baptist Association? No. Any organization. whether it's association, fellowship, or convention, must of its own nature, through the passage of time, become more and more of a good old boys group that praise one another and give honor to one another, because it's the way of human nature. That's why God put the church down here and made it local and visible. So in a local and visible church, we would have the ability to resist hierarchy, to resist thinking highly of ourselves. And as we heard, proclaimed, and taught the Word of God, instead of growing proud and haughty about ourselves, we would humble ourselves and become more and more submissive to the will of God. Because that's one of the reasons He put the local church down here. Now, don't mistake what I say. I love the American Baptist Association. I think it's great. I think it's wonderful. But it's not a church. Every time you form an association of churches, whether it be a convention or fellowship or association, it always develops a hierarchy. This was tremendously true of the scribes and Pharisees. They would stand up and honor one another, praise one another, pat one another on the back, be highly complimentary to one another, praise one another. And it turned out to be an association of praise among themselves and not to seek the honor of God only. Sometimes, if you're not careful, whether you're a church or what, you tend to forget that your purpose down here is to be used of God. I think that the way that has to be done is by preaching the Word and teaching the Word. This church supports missions heavily. I don't believe the church is made up of people that have a high opinion of their own goodness, their own greatness, and their own natural abilities. I think it's made up of people that recognize we're a bunch of plain, common, ordinary sinners who were saved by the grace of God. Now it talks about, I receive not honor from men, but I know you that you have not the love of God in you. Because how can you believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? If they had seen themselves as sinners, they would have honored God by willfully and joyfully receiving His Son as the sacrifice of their sins. But they never have, and they never will until Jesus comes. He said, do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. They trust in the law of Moses. But he points something out to them. For had you believed Moses, you would have believed me. For he wrote of me. But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? Moses said, a prophet like unto me shall the Lord your God raise up. Him shall you hear. And whosoever shall not hear, of him it shall be required. Jesus showed up. Who heard him? Well, one of the men was Peter. And even after Jesus had been with him for more than 3 years, almost 3.5 years, he asked Peter, 3 times. Peter, lovest thou me? Jesus was resurrected from the dead. And he asked him 3 times. Peter, lovest thou me? Did he ask Peter, did he love him? Because Peter didn't love him? No, he was trying to teach Peter a principle. And when we get to that, I'll cover that. But did Peter love him? Yes, he did. He said, But I know you that you have not the love of God in you. Why did Peter and James and John and all of those first new church member, Testament church members come? Because they were looking for a Messiah who would take away their sin. They knew they were sinners. They had learned it from the writing of Moses. They were truthful with themselves. That's one of the reasons I love you all. There's not a one of you here that doesn't recognize you're a sinner. You'd be amazed how many churches there are with people that think they finally mastered it. And if anybody makes them, surely they will. And I think you realize that the only difference between you and a pedophile, I'll mention the very worst type, the only difference between you and a pedophile is Jesus Christ and the mercy of God that's in him. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we won't know how much we truly owe God until we get there. They loved him because they were looking for someone to take away their sins. When John looked across the Jordan and two of his disciples were standing by him, one of them was John, the apostle, John the Baptist, said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." It says, and they followed him. They knew what that meant. They were looking for somebody to take away their sins. When people come to this church, if they're looking for somebody to take away their sins, they're going to find Jesus preached here. And they're going to come to God through Jesus because they need a Savior. And they need a sacrifice for their sins. We underestimate the power of the Holy Spirit. We think we've got to help him all the time. And after these things, Jesus went over. Let's see if there isn't something else back up here in this. No, I guess not. I guess not. Well, in John 6, 1 through 71, last Sunday night, again, I forgot it was business meeting, for those of you that weren't here, for the umpteenth time. You can always tell how much emphasis I put on business meeting. I love to teach the Word of God. And when I discover something, I just love to get over here and tell you about it. And so business meeting and things like that are just something that don't skim by. But believe me, when I first came here, there were some business meetings I didn't want to come over here. But that's all water under the bridge. I've already covered this miracle of the loaves. I covered all that, 6th chapter of John. Went through the whole thing, read it last Sunday night. Covered it all the way down to, let's see. Down to verse 22. John 6, 22. The day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there, save that one whereunto his disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples were gone away alone. Howbeit there came other boats from Tiberias nigh unto the place where they did eat bread, after that the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they took shipping and came to Capernaum. That's called Capernaum over there. I always call it Capernaum because that's what they call it in this country. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, "Rabbi, when camest thou hither?" Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled." He said, you're seeking me for a physical reason. He said, the miracles, you saw, the miracles were to prove he was from God. Once they saw he was from God, then they were to come to him and put their faith in him as being from God and being the Messiah. But they were more impressed with the fact that he fed them and were filled. Now to us, in this country of great prosperity, this is kind of a hard point to get across, because we have enough welfare in this country where we don't have to worry about going hungry. God's blessed this country, and we end up with food one way or another. But in Israel at this time, food was a very important commodity, and some people went hungry. When they saw this man and they saw the miracles, instead of putting their faith in him as the Messiah from God and coming to him, confessing their sins and asking him to deliver them spiritually, they were interested in what he could do physically. Really hasn't changed. What do these people on television make hay with? Spiritual things? No. They'll send you prayer cloths. You can send your prayer request in. They'll put them in a huge heap. A lot of desperate people dying with cancer. Husbands dying with cancer. Wives dying with cancer. Children dying with cancer. And these people sent in because they want their dad healed. They want their mother healed. They want their children healed. They want this. They want all these physical things. I believe there's a very special place in hell for these guys on television that are doing that. Because those poor people send in money and send in those prayer requests truly believing that that phony is going to heal them. There's a very special place in hell, in the lower regions of hell, for some of these TV evangelists that promote that. They wanted physical things from Jesus. Every night I pray the same prayer. Then after I finish the prayer, I just pray whatever's on my mind and heart. It's a very simple prayer, but I think about it. It's not repetitious to think about it. Our Father, who art in heaven. I think about it when I say it. I acknowledge he is my Father, that he is in heaven. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed. I have at times been in a hurry and said that first part very quickly. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, without thinking. And I've caught myself many times, said, Lord, forgive me, and started over. Our Father, who art in heaven. I think about it. He's there. He's here. Hallowed be thy name. I think about the glory and the greatness, how wonderful, powerful, loving, and kind he is. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. I think about how anxious I am for Jesus to come and bring his kingdom on. Just say the same thing Jesus said. I don't know of a better prayer, do you? If Jesus told them to pray that way, I sure can't improve on it. But I can think about it when I say it. Thy kingdom come. I think about it. And I think about how much I want it to come and be established on this earth. Thy will be done. I think about it. I really think about it. I want his will done on this earth. I'm looking forward to his kingdom. When I won't have this sinful nature, when it will all be his will. And I think about how often I fail to follow his will. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I think about the time and the millennial reign when it's going to be that way. And I'm going to be here in a glorified body. I think about that when I pray, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Then the next day, give us this day our daily bread. In Luke it says, give us day by day our daily bread. You know what? He's been doing that for 71 years. He's done it. When I pray, I trust Him for tomorrow, for the day after. And I ask Him, with that in mind and heart, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses. And, oh Lord, when I come to that part, I think about how many of them I don't even remember. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And I think about how unforgiving I am at times, and how I might be irritated or angry about something. And I ask for forgiveness, and I forgive them. And then I go on and say, For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. So, I'm looking for spiritual things from God. He'll take care of the physical. But I'm looking for spiritual things from God. After I finish the Lord's Prayer, I always thank Him for giving me wisdom, discernment, understanding. I ask Him for those three things. I thank Him for giving it to me in the past. I ask Him to give it to me in the future. And I ask Him, Lord, help me use it for Your honor, for Your glory, and to teach the people that You've called me to pastor. Help me not to use it to draw attention to myself. God knows I'm the world's worst for wanting attention. I love attention. I've always loved it. One of my greatest sins. So I have to continually ask God to help me and to do what I do for His honor and glory and not for my own self-edification. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life. A lot of people are looking for things now. Now, 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 now. But if God's Word can be presented to me and to you in such a way that your life changes and people see more of Christ in you, then that goes on into everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for Him hath God the Father sealed. That's about a quarter till, so we'll stop there. Now, I hope that I'm not boring you all with all this, because I'm just winging this. I'm just winging it based on 30 years here and what I know about these verses. But I love doing this on Sunday morning. This is my favorite time, so thank you all for showing up. We didn't have your phone number yesterday. We were going to tell you we weren't going to have the nursing home. Okay, but we tried to find your phone number. It's not in the phone book. Okay, well, Imogene went to look for it and didn't find it. But we were trying to, we found all